Lord, may we taste of the living water that you are and that you provide, so that we may never thirst again. Amen. Good morning. I'm so glad to be with you this morning and for this opportunity. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Owen, and for all of you who have had us in your homes. Leah and Cassian and I have had a blast getting to know all of you and getting to see a little bit about how and who you are and how you live. It's been a treasure. It's been a blessing to us. And so I hope in some way we've been a blessing to you as well. So over the past few weeks, Pastor Owen has been focusing on themes of community, on themes of community and unity, and particularly how humility is central to Christian faith and practice. Over the past few weeks, Pastor Owen has given you all a cycle of statements, so to speak, intended to help us make meaning of this thing we call Christian life, Christian faith. These include, you might remember, you can't have Jesus without the church. You can't have the church without unity. And you can't have unity without humility. And you can't have humility without Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to continue in this way, standing in the shadow of a giant, and offer a simple statement intended to help us reflect well on who we are and how we are in relation to what Jesus says in John 6:51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of the bread, they will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." So simply put, here's the statement I want to add to the cycle of statements. Communion with God is what makes the people of God the people of God. Communion with God is what makes the people of God the people of God. In other words, we are what we eat. How many of you heard this phrase before? You are what you eat. Or phrases like this. You are what you see, or you are what you think, or maybe you've read a book recently that says something to the extent, you are what you love. You see, there are many phrases like this, right, that help us kind of make meaning of our lives because they cause us to reflect on what we love and what we consume our thoughts and gaze upon, right? What consumes our thoughts or what consumes our eyes, our lives. These sayings have a way of focusing or helping us to focus on who we are and how we are and how we are who we are, right? Think about it. The things we love, the things that we think about, the things that we look at most are those objects of desire that we attach our affections to. And with time, the things we love, the things we look at and gaze upon, they have a way of influencing us, right? They give shape to our lives, both individually and collectively as a community of faith. We can see this most easily with the food that we eat. But this really is a principle that is far more reaching than the food that we eat. It's a truth that rings true with almost everything that we choose to consume. Books, music, news channels, media, television, movies, websites, just to name just a few examples, right? Think about it. If you choose to read books and listen to podcasts primarily about business and productivity, then your mind is going to sharpen its focus on those things. And you're going to begin to see the world, yourself and others, in a particular way and act accordingly. Even the music that we listen to shapes our minds and our thoughts and our hearts throughout the day. So what we choose to consume, it in many ways determines the direction of our lives. So here's the thing. If we're going to be and become the community of faith that God has called us to be the people of God, the church who lives in unity and whose lives are marked by humility, then we must reflect well on what we love, on what we think, what we see, and yes, what we eat, and why. We must think deeply on these things because they shape the way we understand the life that we proclaim when we say that Christ Jesus is Lord. We must carefully consider these things because I believe they get to the heart of what it means to be the church, of what it means to be the body of Christ, the community of faith, the people of God. And so this morning, our scripture lessons provide good food for thought, pun intended, as we consider the food that God tells us to eat and the life we are called to live with God. So we are what we eat. The biblical story, the Bible begins with God creating a world where human beings are presented as hungry creatures, and the whole world as our food, along with the commands to name the animals, to procreate, to steward the gift of creation. God instructs humanity to eat of the earth. And at the center of the Garden of Eden were fruit trees, good for food. God says to Adam and Eve, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, every tree which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat," Genesis 2:29. So to put it simply, in order to live, we must eat. God fashioned us in this way. Praise God. Our lives are dependent upon God's provision of a world that God says we must take into our bodies. And then it's transformed into our very selves, into flesh and blood. God fashioned us to consume life from the earth that gives us life. And the life that we consume, right? Food provides bodies with nourishment and energy, with vitamins and minerals. Through this process of consuming life, there is death and a sort of resurrection into our lives. There's transformation from life to life happening when we kill animals and eat it and receive life, to live life. Think about the story of Genesis 1, where God forms and fills a shapeless void. God takes hold of the world, breaks it down, and puts it back together in new ways, and assigns a new name and pronounces it as good. In the image of God, you and I are made to imitate that creativity of our Creator. God fashioned us to live and work in this way. We are made to plow and to plant and to cultivate and harvest, to pulverize grain into flour, to mix and bake it and call it lemon bars, right, Leanne? Or bread. We are made to squeeze food from grapes, manage its fermentation, and call it wine. And after the transformation is complete, there's another transformation that occurs when we take these things into our bodies and they are transformed into our very selves, into flesh and blood. This is why we believe that there is a sacramental purpose to the work of our hands and our lives and the whole of creation. We are what we eat. And God presents to us the whole world as one all-embracing banquet table. In fact, throughout the whole biblical story, this image of the banquet remains the central image of life. It is the image of life at its creation, and it's also the image of life at its end, the fulfillment that you eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, Jesus says, Luke 23:30. So from the beginning, we are created to partake of the gift of creation, which is nothing less than the gifts of God for the people of God. The things we make and enjoy are God's gifts to us. Now, there's another layer to this. In Deuteronomy 8, our Old Testament lesson, the people of God are reminded that they cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, which is why the food we must eat in order to live is not only given to us by God, but is also given to us as communion with God. All that exists is God's gift to us. God created it. God called it good. And all that exists in some way makes God known to us, to make our lives communion with Him. It is, in many ways, divine love made food, made life for us. And God blesses it all in the beginning. In the language of the Bible, this means that everything God created is a sign. It's a means of God's wisdom and love and presence and revelation to us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34. Not only does God bless every gift of His provision for us, but also God calls us to bless Him for the food and life that we receive from Him. So we are uniquely made to respond to God's blessing with our blessing, to partake in the gifts of God as we offer them back to God with thanksgiving. We lift up our hearts. It is right so to do. We are to bless the Lord at all times, Psalm 34, 1. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So to receive and give thanks for God's provision in and for our lives is an act of worship. In fact, to receive from and bless God in return, to thank God, is in many ways to love, think, and see the world as God loves, thinks, and sees it. It's to partake of the gifts of God, again, in a sacramental way. So what I mean by sacramental, in case you're wondering, is this: the act of blessing God, of receiving the world from God and offering it to God. And I would say this is a very holy and unifying act. With thanksgiving, we partake of the life that gives life so that we can live life in communion with God. And this is the way of life outlined throughout Scripture for us. This is life with God. It is the way of God. So again, in our Old Testament lesson, Deuteronomy 8, Moses recalls God's provision for the people during their 40 years in the wilderness. This reminder comes at a time that is apropos, so to speak. It comes at a time when the people of God are becoming more abundant, and they're nearing the land that God had promised them. And the reminder is actually a warning. It's a warning to the people of God to not forget that everything they needed to be a people living in the presence of God, everything that is absolutely essential, was given in the wilderness. And all of it was as communion with God. God led them through the wilderness. God humbled them. God tested them. God fed them, in order to make them understand this, that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:3. Here, God reminds His people that the manna which sustained their lives in the wilderness was given as a visible sign, as a means of the one who is able to create, give, and sustain life. God Himself. God sustained the people in the wilderness with food that was unknown to them. The food was spiritual food that was decreed by the Word of God. They had manna because it came by God's command, by God's Word. And it wasn't bread that kept them alive, but God's Word. The food that they had to eat in order to live, you see, was given as communion with God. And what we discover here is that at the heart of Moses' reminder to the people of God to keep the commandments of the Lord by walking in the way of God and fearing Him, verses 6 and 11 of Deuteronomy 8, is a call to life with God, to taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34, 8, to partake of the gifts of God that give life so they could live in communion with God. Communion with God is what makes the people of God, the people of God. So one of my favorite memories about food, other than last night, is eating breakfast when I used to visit my grandmother. When I was spending a weekend there, with my family or an entire week in the summer all by myself, which was a blessing that I got to do that my sisters never got to do. My grandmother, I hold that against them still, by the way. My grandmother would always rise up early. She would put on a pot of really bad Folgers coffee and then begin pouring her energy, love. Let me just stop there and say, if you like Folgers, I love you, and I hope we can do life together. Yes. But she would put on Folgers coffee, begin pouring her energy, love, and life into making homemade scratch biscuits. If my family was there, then I was always the first to wake up, and 99.9% of the time, I would be finished eating before anyone made it to the kitchen. So this would drive my mom and my dad nuts because they wanted us all to eat together. What they wanted was the same thing I wanted, though, but I wanted it all for myself. You see, they desired communion, to eat as a whole family with grandma, whereas I wanted to eat with grandma all by myself. Now, there were certainly some sinister motives at play in my heart, because I knew that if it were just me and grandma, well, she'd let me drink coffee with milk and a whole lot of sugar early in the morning. I also knew that her eyesight wasn't the best, and so she'd never tell me not to put so much honey and butter on my biscuits. But beyond the coffee and beyond the milk, beyond the sugar and the most amazing biscuits of my life, sorry, honey, what I realize now that I wasn't able to really grasp then is this. What I really miss the most is the energy, love, and life that my grandmother put into all that. That was an essential part of my childhood, and it played a shaping role in my life. My grandmother was wise, and she knew this is what I needed most. And she was always ready and willing to welcome me, to sit with me, and to listen, to give of herself, of her energy, and of her love, and of her life. What I miss the most isn't brain octane or sugar. I can get that almost anywhere. What I miss is communion with grandma, because spending time with her shaped a good bit of who I am today. The person that I have become, who I am, and how I live my life. Communion with God was everything the people of God needed to be the people of God, to be who God had called them to be, and to live in a way God called them to live. The same is true of us, the church, the body of Christ. In fact, Jesus says it stronger. Verily, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. John 6:53. In our gospel lesson, John 6, Jesus reveals to us that in the same way the manna in the wilderness was intended to sustain the lives of God's people and was given as communion with God, he himself is the bread of life, the bread of heaven, God made man, whose flesh and blood is given for the life of the world. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of the bread, they will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. What Jesus offers us is more than just a piece of bread that fills us up one moment and is gone the next. What Jesus offers us through his body and blood is food, is communion with him, communion and life with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the food that leads to life eternal. bread that feeds us with God's own life. Divine love made food, made life for you and I. This is the food that determines our lives, who we are and what we are and how we are to live. In this church, week after week, we gather in this place or elsewhere. And while there are some minor changes from season to season, the service is pretty much the same week after week. And there's a lot of familiar things we do as we gather to worship the Lord in song and praise and blessing and offering and feasting on the Word of God and thanksgiving. But of all the things we gather to partake in, there is no more important act than our participation in Holy Communion, where we feast on the food that determines our lives, the culmination of creation transformed into bread and wine through the work of our hands, grain transformed into bread and grapes transformed into wine, and then blessed and lifted up as a blessing, as a visible sign of spiritual grace given to us by Jesus Christ, as a sure and certain means that we receive that very grace, the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is here at the table of our Lord where we remember and proclaim that in order to live, we must eat, and that we are called to eat, and what we are called to eat is life with God, communion with God. In this meal, we receive the gifts of God, and we offer them back to God in a holy and unifying act. And as we bless God and one another, we lift up our hearts to the Lord and we celebrate that life in unity, in humility before God with one another. It is here at the table of our Lord that we are assured of who we are, that we are living members of the body of God's Son and heirs of the eternal kingdom of the Father in heaven. In this meal, we renew our relationship with God as we receive God's gracious invitation to live life in communion with Him, to be a part of His body. In this meal, God draws us together, uniting us with His life and uniting us with one another. And when we partake in this meal, the church celebrates who God says we are. The new humanity gathered together, gathered to Jesus, the body of the Father's incarnate Son, knit together by the Holy Spirit. Holy Communion is not some dull, weekly, repetitive practice that lacks meaning, nor is it a time where we receive bread and wine just as passive recipients. No, it is what makes the whole of Christian faith and practice meaningful, to be incorporated into the very gift itself, the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this meal, we bless the kingdom of God and we declare it as our goal. And when Holy Communion is celebrated constantly in this way throughout the world, in faith, in humility, in this way, it turns our world upside down. It announces that at the center of the universe is the bread of life that came down from heaven. God made man, Jesus Christ, whose flesh and blood, whose life was given for the life of the world. And hidden in Holy Communion is the truth that revolutionizes our world, that sin is forgiven and that death is defeated, that the resurrection is real. For us who have tasted and seen the goodness of God, who have found the core of our lives in the worship of God, for us there is no other alternative. We can want nothing more and imagine nothing greater than to be a part of a people of God gathered around the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom alone are glory and true freedom. So to receive Christ here at this table is to commune with God. It is to receive the gift of God, which is God's self. For Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of the bread, they will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Truly, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Sisters and brothers, with a sincere heart, let us come today with confidence as we draw near to the throne of grace. Amen.